brothers and sisters, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Let us see what the Lord has to say to us today. And really, this is His Word. These are His directions, His help, His kindness, His severity at times when we need it. But He is with us, and He wants us to draw closer and closer to Him. So the opening prayer for today, think of this. Guard your church, we pray, O Lord, in your unceasing mercy. And since without you mortal humanity is sure to fall, may we be kept by your constant helps from all harm and directed to all that brings salvation. I want to see you in heaven. I might be in purgatory for a while, but I expect to see you in heaven when we gather there. I am prayerfully hoping that I never go to hell. But that means depending on God's grace more and more and more. That's what I'm trying to do and what I encourage you to do. Just say to the Lord every day, Lord, help me today to live according to your will, to love you and to follow you. Please help me. That's all. Ask God to do that. So let's take a look now at the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 10, and then 16 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah. Wash yourselves clean. Put away your misdeeds from before my eyes. Cease doing evil, learn to do good. Make justice your aim. Redress the wronged. Hear the orphan's plea. Defend the widow. Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins be like scarlet, they may become white as snow, because he knows that he will forgive our sin. If we come to him in confession and ask it, he will give it to us. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And you might be saying, oh, well, yeah, I'll look at that someday. No, today is the day. You do not know how long your lifespan is. Really, do as soon as possible what you need to mend the sins that you have committed. God will hear you. God will hear you. Through the priest, he will absolve you and set you free. How long has it been since you've been free, really free? That great grace that comes in confession is no little thing. You see, the weight of sin can weigh us down. And well, I didn't mean this. Well, that was an accident. Whatever. Just say, well, I did this. And you may say, if it's needed, yes, there was an accident and I didn't have time to think or whatever. Sure, you can tell the priest that. Anything. So he knows your circumstances. At the same time, take responsibility that you do the wrong thing, because God wants a place in your heart. Really, he wants a place near you. Psalm 50 says, to the upright I will show the saving power of God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you, for your burnt offerings are before me always. I take from your house no bullock, no goats out of your fold. Why do you recite my statutes and profess my covenant with your mouth, though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you? Though you hate discipline and cast my words behind you. Think of that. When you do these things, shall I be deaf to it? Or do you think that I am like yourself? I will correct you by drawing them up before your eyes. He that offers praise as a sacrifice glorifies me. And to him that goes the right way, I will show the salvation of God. It's in our hands, brothers and sisters. We have been given an immortal gift. Follow him and we will live with him forever in heaven. Decide that, oh, well, that was only once, or, well, it's just a habit, I have to get out of it someday. No. Ask forgiveness. Go to confession. Receive it. Ask God to give you courage. If you want to tackle one sin or one bad habit at a time, that's fine. But really go at it, because God wants us with him in heaven. And you say, oh, well, that was little, but how many littles have you piled up? Please, please, I want to encourage you during this Lent, please go to confession so that at this Easter we can come with clean slates before God. It will make all the difference in your world. And then we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 to 12. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have taken their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you, but do not follow their example, for they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to carry, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they will not lift a finger to move them. All their works are performed to be seen. They widen their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love places of honor at banquets, seats of honor in synagogues, greetings in marketplaces, and the salutation, Rabbi." They just want to be seen as being better than everybody else and having a better job and all that kind of thing. Pride is pride. "As for you, do not be called Rabbi." In other words, don't look for a title and relish the title that you give. "You have but one teacher, and you are all brothers. Call no one on earth your father. You have but one father in heaven." I might add here that my own father talked to me about God the Father a lot. And in a certain way they merged, but in another way as I grew, I began to understand more and more. Knowing how good my own father was, I was able to see what it could be to have a good Heavenly Father. And if you haven't had a good Father on earth, go to the Lord and just say, "Lord, please help me. Please help me to have faith in you more deeply. Please help me to trust you more." And God will give you that grace. Just keep doing it. God will give you the grace. "Do not be called Master. You have but one Master, the Christ. The greatest among you must be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted." That's not going around limiting yourself and saying, "Oh, I'm terrible, I've done this, I've done that, I've whatever." That's not what God is asking. He's simply asking that you put your faith in him, and that whatever good comes in your life, thank God for it. He does anoint us. He does bless us. He can speak to us and speak through us by the actions of others. Open your heart, because whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And that's, brothers and sisters, don't you look forward to that time? Don't you look forward? And you say, "Oh no, I don't want to die." Of course, that's a natural thing in each of us. But remember what's going to happen when you die. Yes, we will be judged by God. But when I know I've done something wrong, I just say right away, Lord, I am so sorry, right then. And then go to confession when I can, as quickly as possible. Don't be afraid of that. Don't think that that makes you feel bad about yourself. It actually will set you free. It actually will begin to show more and more that you are his son, his daughter. That's what he wants. He wants a relationship with you. Please, brothers and sisters, whoever humbles himself will be exalted, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. So let God do the exalting. We do the serving, we do the loving, we do the kind thing, the generous thing, the helpful thing, but let God be the one. He will exalt us when that time comes. Oh, brothers and sisters, he loves us so much. He loves us so much. Jacques Maritain said this, "When I did not seek him with self-love, he gave himself to me without being sought." When I did not seek him with self-love, he gave himself to me without being sought. That's Father Donald Haggerty, who's a priest in the Archdiocese of New York. When I did not seek him with self-love, he gave himself to me without being sought. And he, in turn, Father Donald Haggerty, drew that from Jacques Maritain. A place hidden in the heart of God awaits contemplatives as they renounce any desire for status or privilege with God and leave that ambition smoldering in the ashes. This renunciation has a significant consequence in the inner realms of silent prayer. The effect is to hide the soul more easily from itself. We lose interest in self and have no need to gain anything for ourselves in prayer. Without a desire to seek anything for self or to advance in some manner in our own estimation, a poverty takes hold in us, and because, as it were, an ordinary place for prayer, we learn then more often to discard at the doorstep of prayer all traces of desire for an acquisition of any kind in prayer. All desire to possess something for ourselves fades and disappears. The desire for gratification and favor from God becomes unnecessary, cast away as unimportant, no longer presumed. The internal poverty may in time offer us a different treasure. There is now a new attraction within our soul. We are beginning to know the drawing power of the divine presence in the poor emptiness of prayer. We do not perceive his presence in any experience we can carry away as a memory from prayer. It is confirmed more in the desires that we take with us from silent prayer to intercede for others in spiritual need. Oh, brothers and sisters, may God bless us. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.